Why global markets are up to levels last seen before the financial crisis, and the naked selfies used as collateral.
Nothing.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Today, good cheer on many global indices. China's Hang Seng is at levels last seen in 2007. US equities are at record highs. And some analysts are saying European stocks might beat Wall Street. So what's going on? Mark Ostwald is a global strategist at ADM Investor Services.
I think when one just looks at this week's array of economic data from around the world, it's all been very, very positive wherever one looks, whether it was Japan, whether it's China, whether it's Europe, whether it's the USA. Then above all, there is still quite a lot of optimism that we will finally get something in terms of fiscal reform or tax reform. In the USA.
Is this rally something that's going to last?
I think it will last, but that doesn't mean that there aren't things which can come along either geopolitically or indeed economically, which could start to upset the apple cart. And that's where one would be having some concerns that perhaps too many people are crowded into what they assume to be a safe space, which may not be proved to be as safe as they had thought.
Mark Ostwald. Let's do the numbers. Following China's lead, Asian markets closed higher. Japan's Nikkei closed up 62 points, or 0.30%. In Europe, markets are mixed, led lower by Spain's IBEX, which is down 77 points, or 0.76%. The price of European oil, Brent crude, is down 0.12% to just under $57 a barrel. Now, one prospect that might cheer oil traders is this. Saudi Arabia's King Salman, de facto head of OPEC, met Russia's President Vladimir Putin to discuss extending caps on oil production. The 81-year-old king routinely travels with 1,500 staff, a golden escalator, and his own food supplies. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford has more.
There were warm words by both men after their first ever meeting in the Kremlin. Vladimir Putin called it a significant visit, saying he hoped their trusting talks would be a powerful stimulus to closer relations. For his part, King Salman said Saudi Arabia aims to strengthen ties with Russia in several spheres and hinted that their agreement last year to curb oil production and stem a slide in prices could be extended. The two countries maintain some deep political differences, though, including backing opposing sides in the conflict in Syria. In Moscow, I'm the BBC's Sarah Rainsford for Marketplace.
We've been looking at Chinese debt this week, public and private. Both are a risk to Chinese growth. Today, the BBC's Ed Butler reports on personal loans requiring collateral that could literally take the clothes off your back.
A routine call, a female student seeking a loan. $500 is all she wants, but she has no income. So there will be strings attached.
You take photographs, and if you can't repay the loan on time, these will be sent to your parents' home.
What kind of photographs?
Naked photos.
How naked? To what extent?
Naked photos, no clothes on.
Nothing.
That was a real conversation that we recorded in Shanghai just 2 weeks ago. Naked lending, as it's become known, is routine now on Chinese campuses. Dozens of pictures are now out on the net, we're told, a kind of warning to other student borrowers to pay back on time. This is just one extreme symptom of the spiralling lending that's out there. Even fully clothed students like this young man often can't keep up with the bills.
At the very beginning, when I was a freshman, I would like to have an iPhone, but my family didn't support me. So I took expensive loan worth $1,200. And I thought I could pay all the loan back. But it turns out that I cannot, because every month I need to pay $30.
Are you not concerned, though, that something bad really could happen?
I think the possibility is really tiny, because a lot of students here in university, they always get loan from this kind of app. They are doing great.
All of your friends are in debt?
Mostly.
Consumer debt's shot up in China. It's half of GDP. It could soon reach dangerous levels, says the IMF. Professor Michael Pettis at Peking University says it's getting scary.
Consumer debt has exploded to the point where in 2 or 3 years, China will have one of the most overly indebted household sectors in the world.
Rivaling 2007 in US.
Yes, probably more.
China knows there's a debt problem, but what's not clear is how to curb it without stalling the economy. In Beijing, I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Finally, if you're feeling a little sluggish this Friday, you're in good company. Here in Britain, figures just out show productivity is less than 1% higher than it was a decade ago. The worst increase since 1817, when there were no cars or even electricity. Like one of my British colleagues said, now that's something to be proud of. You can slack off with our podcast if you like, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.